Well, over the last few weeks, things have started to settle down for 2025. Schools have returned, for some back to work. Major sporting events are over. I watched the last two yesterday. Had a long weekend. Grandkids have been visiting and worn out grandparents. And the traffic is unfortunately back to the normal chaos. I think I drove around on Wednesday. I thought, hang a second, the lights are on 40. Don't drive too fast. And watch out as you drive through those zones. In one sense, February sees things getting back to normal, back to routines. And also in one sense, February sees the start of a new church year, even though 1 month of the year has already gone. In fact, Easter is only 11 weeks away. Hot cross buns have been in the shops since Boxing Day, and I have resisted. Through the whole of January, I haven't eaten one hot cross bun yet. I may drive on the way home and buy a few packs, but never mind. I actually was sitting in the mustard tree at the volunteers table, and there was a pack of hot cross buns, and I walked away. So I'm staying strong. Look, I'm not certain what 2025 will bring. I'm not certain what's around the next bend. But to help us focus on this new church year and to give us the opportunity to commission those who will serve in various ways this year, and also to give us all the opportunity for us all to commit, in a sense, recommit ourselves again for living for the Lord in 2025. I want us to focus for a short time on a couple of verses in the book of Colossians. We find Paul in writing his letter to the church of Colossae in verse 2, writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are Colossae. He's writing to believers. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people just like you and me. In verses 9 and 11 of this first chapter of Colossians, we find that there's at least five things that Paul tells the Christians at Colossae that he actually prays for them. Some theologians have actually seen these couple of verses forming a miniature picture of Christian life and growth. And I think as we look forward to a new year, these five things can serve us well as we seek to live for the Lord in 2025. And so, Paul writes, because of their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints, in the first part of verse 9, we do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may, is this thing going to work? It is. To understand the will of God. Let me pray as we do. Think about these five things this morning. Father, as we do come this morning, as we turn to your word, not our ideas, but your leading for us, your commissioning for us, your teaching to us, help us as we go through these to understand what you've got to say to us and how we can live well this year serving you in 2025, we ask in Jesus' name. First of all, is understanding the will of God. And we find in the second part of verse 9, be filled with the knowledge of his, that's God's, will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Filled, to be filled with is to have lives that are led and controlled by the Lord. You may remember Paul in Ephesians 5 uses a similar concept. Ephesians 5, not being drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We witness effects of people being controlled by drink every week on our roads and in our news. Paul says here, we're to be filled, we're to be controlled, we're to be led and guided by the Lord. And what are we to be filled with, controlled by? The knowledge of his will. The desire to serve God will be vain without a proper understanding of the one we want to serve. need this wisdom for spiritual understanding in what to be doing, what to be saying, what is God and not, what is of God and not. Ministry opportunities. Someone has written this: the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. That's sometimes helpful as we think about, oh, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? Understanding the will of God. We then find in the first part of verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. As Christians, we are, as Paul writes, we are saints, but we are also holy. That is, we are set aside for our Lord. No, I didn't say we're perfect. We are all on a journey of perfection, a journey of holiness. There used to be a car bumper sticker. I don't see around much these days, but when I was in my youth days, it used to read, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. It was helpful, I think. I'm not quite certain whether it was. I don't think everyone understood it. I just think Christians went, yeah, yeah. Everyone's going, what's that mean, mate? But that's how it goes. But even though not yet perfect, we are still called to walk a God-focused life. And our walk includes such things as our conversation, our attitude, the friendships we keep, spare time activities, sports, holidays, our aims and our desires. But also, as Bill Sahibels actually wrote a book a few years ago, and its title is a great one: Who You Are When No One's Looking. Who You Are When No One Is Looking. The first part in verse, I think it was page 80, says, he was thinking about a character. Character, a wise person once sense, is what we do when no one is looking. It's not the same as reputation, what other people think of us. Not the same as success or achievement. Character is not what we have done, but who we are. And although we often hear of tragic lapses of character, describing his absence does not tell the whole story. And I think there's something about this. Who you are when no one's looking. Not putting up a front. Because we have to keep in mind, we've sung some songs before about God being with us all the time. There's one audience who we're serving, and that's God. Who we are when no one is looking. Paul in Ephesians 4 verses 25 to 32 speaks of some things not befitting for a Christian. Can I encourage you to read through these this week? Have a look at them. Think about yourself. Take stock. How am I going? These are things which really Paul is saying, this shouldn't be part of your life as now being a believer. Ask some of those questions. Even though some of us, some have called us a so-called Christian nation, ethical and moral standards of Australia are not necessarily that of the Lord's. And the goalposts keep on changing. Steve McAlpine wrote a book back in about 2021. He's actually crossed out the good guys, being the bad guys. How to live for Jesus in a world that says you shouldn't. I've nearly finished a book, and Mike's about to rip it out of my hands. Stephen's actually going to be one of the guys at our men's convention this year. And what he's saying is certainly over the last 20 years, things have changed so much. And in a sense, the Christians, we were the good guys. He's now saying that's changed. You're now the bad guys. The bad guys, in a sense, you hold to some very strong things that culture says, no, you shouldn't be, don't say that anymore. That's not, and it's going to be a challenge for us all. Great book, only about 140 pages. I always buy books which are short. some of the theological books I used to read in college, I used to think, oh, 700 pages, you're killing me. This will take me a year to read. 140 pages I can do in a couple of days. Steve McAlpine, Being the Bad Guys. Have a read. Good one to think about. I'm actually, Stephen and I will be driving around to Geelong, Ballarat, Bendigo and Wonthaggi in March. So I thought I'd better read his book so I can have an intellectual conversation with him, at least so I do know what he's talking about, I hope. But as Christians, we are called, challenged to conduct our life pleasing to the Lord, not to do things to please our friends, our colleagues, our family. That won't always be easy. Sometimes these things can be counter to what the Lord teaches and demands of us, and as ones who are holy, set aside. We'll be looking a bit further in a few weeks' time when I'll be leading us in a short series titled Called to a Life of Holiness. Called a Life of Holiness. Then in the second part of verse 10, we find, be fruitful in every good work. Be fruitful in every good work. We are expected to be serving as Christians, using the gifts God has given us, also to be looking for opportunities to do good works. There's a theological concept called cheap grace. Cheap grace. That is, we accept the gift, but we're not prepared to serve. I still remember when I was back at BCV, seems like the ancient of days on that one, I can tell you right now. During my third year, I had the opportunity to study the book of Hebrews. So we travelled through Hebrews. The lecturer had the heading for Hebrews 10, 19 to 25 as this. Privilege brings responsibility. Privilege brings responsibility. We have, you have, received many privileges by becoming a believer, becoming a Christian. You are a child of God. You have the gift of eternal life. You have been given a spiritual gift. You have been given the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. And God expects we will serve Him, do good works for Him, not for our salvation, but in our salvation. That doesn't mean we need to be serving everywhere. That's how we wear ourselves out. But I believe every believer, every Christian should be serving in some capacity. At LBC, maybe it's helping in the playgroup. Maybe it's serving on the leadership team, being an elder, helping on the music team, various rosters, welcoming, morning tea, helping at the mustard tree, being part of Seniors Hope. I know there's some new ones starting this year. Being an encourager to someone, providing a meal, praying for somebody. Every believer, I think, I know, should be serving in some way, some small way, or perhaps some big way. We need to be listening to God. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Then in the end part of verse 10, we find increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How can we do that? How can we increase in the... Give me some idea. How can we increase? How can you increase in the knowledge of God this year? Reading the Bible? Thanks, Martha. Prayer? Thanks, Holly. Home groups? Yeah, being part of a home group? Yeah, for certain. Any other thoughts? How do we increase our knowledge? Being with fellow believers. Yeah, coming here on a Sunday morning on a regular basis. You won't find too many people in your work environment will be singing songs as you arrive on a Monday morning. Now, if we didn't sing songs here, you'd be going, what's going on here? I love worship. and in that aspect of worship. I love singing songs to God. I may not sing very well. I sing very well in the shower. But I love singing here as well as part of worship, as part of those times there especially. I had down studying his word alone, in groups, regular daily just devotions, praying, spending times of quietness just before God. A Paul in Romans was looking at this, and in Romans 10 verses 2 and 3, speaks of Israel having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. It is possible to be a Christian, have a thankful heart, but not have a knowledge of God. And that's when we struggle. Paul in Ephesians 4 verses 14 writes this. And he's talking about, especially talking about people young in the faith. He calls them children who can be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and in cunning craftiness. Actually, Stephen, in his book, actually mentioned about that. It's going to be so easy in the world we're travelling in now to be hearing different voices and going, oh, well, yeah, I know God, but I could do this. By the trickery of men and the cunning of craftiness, we can be tossed to and fro. It's going to be a challenge. And things aren't improving at this time. We need to be very much mindful of those things. It's a bit like thinking about knowledge. I own a laptop. It's a powerful piece of equipment, handy for many things. But I can say that I'm a computer owner, but limited in knowledge, and I can tell you I'm very limited in knowledge of how to use it and what it could be used for. It's only as if I wanted to, and I don't, to go and learn more about it. I have no desire at all. As long as it turns on in the morning, I can find where I read my emails. I can send an email off. I can type things. I'm a happy man. But, so you could say that I'm a computer owner still on L-Play. I'm one of these childs, tossed to and fro. When someone says to me, have you done this? No, I don't. I don't know how to do that. But when it comes to God, I want to read more about it. I want to know about it. Can we ever know God totally? No. But Paul's prayer here is for increasing. He didn't say to know, he said to increase. His challenge is for us this year to increase where we've been to where we're going, to be able to perhaps do a few things to actually sort of help that. Perhaps for you it could mean having a regular just devotion. Attend worship services on a regular basis. Can I tell you at the moment, if you look at stats, people are attending church services 1 in 3 or 1 in every 4 weeks. That's if you look at the average at this period of time. I'm not quite certain you're going to increase or you're going to be encouraged by doing that sort of thing. Maybe it's being taking a short course at MST, Summer Online. Perhaps joining one of the life groups. I know Peter's here this morning. I think Graham and Dawn are away. So if you want to think about, oh yeah, hang on a second, I wouldn't mind being part of a group so I can increase my knowledge. Speak to Peter about perhaps joining one of the life groups. And you'll find in the foyer we have a number of life groups and some of the leaders' names out there as well. Then in verse 11 we find, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. See, lastly, Paul adds that as the saints of Colossae continue their walk, and as we continue our walk in 2025, that we will be strengthened with the might of God's power. Paul in Ephesians 6:10 writes, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The might of power or to withstand the trials ahead, the persecution, the temptations. In the pattern of prayer, you may remember, which Jesus, when the disciples asked him about prayer, in Matthew 6, a part of the prayer, he says, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. and lead us not into temptation. In a book I'm also reading at the same time from a guy called Sam Albury. Sam's also going to be one of the speakers at Men's Convention this year. Sam was writing about this, and he said, he writes that temptation is one of the biggest things a believer can struggle with. If we openly sin, we can ask for forgiveness, and that's ended. But temptations with our human nature will still be prevalent in our daily walk. We are confronted with temptations. Temptations in themselves are not sinful, but it's what we do with them is the challenge. Sam wrote a great sort of book in that. I'll just tell you. So Sam is what you would call a same-sex attracted man, and he's had to struggle with that and deal with that. And he's prayed about that and asked God to break him out of that. But he says, at this time, God hasn't. But he said, for me, the challenge is temptations. I've got to be working and focusing on the Lord all the time. Great book, that sort of Sam read. To speak to me afterwards if you want to find out more about it. Two great speakers this year in Men's Convention, Stephen just McAlpine and Sam Albury will be great ones at Men's Convention this year. I have no doubt that similar to Paul's warning the Colossians that we will be confronted with many things this year, personally and as a church. With this, Paul singles out three qualities. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all, patience, long-suffering with joy. That's what he says. That's the focus on those things, he says. Joy is the weapons we need to live in a world inundated by its crisis and its panics. One other provision, which is not in Colossians, we have as children of God, is God's peace. A powerful provision, especially through times of trial, hardship and sickness. And we find in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. He's not saying not to be anxious. Someone's read this rhyme wrong. Oh, I'm anxious, so I can't be a Christian. He's not saying that. He said, when you are anxious, don't be anxious, but do this. But in everything by prayer and supplication, praying, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your emotions, and minds, your thoughts, in Christ Jesus. That's a great thing to take away, to remember. You're not by yourself here. We have a God who wants to help us, and he can give us his peace as we turn to him especially. Am I prepared and continuing in the call of being a child of God? Living daily for the Lord. Committed to serve him. Not to serve me. Not to serve the LBC team. But to serve the Lord in all we do. Because LBC is God's church. It's not ours. He calls us to come and join him at his church at LBC. To be accountable to him for all we do, even when no one is looking. Unfortunately, sometimes other things can cloud that call, divert our walk. What's some of the things that you could think about that can sometimes divert our walk, divert our call? What do you reckon could be issues we've got to watch out for this year? Good one. Sorry. Conspiracy theories, yeah. Tossed to and fro, like Dr. Jem. What's some other things? What could divide it and divert our walk? Downturns in health, oh yeah, for certain. Yep, for certain. Sorry, Holly? Sudden misfortune, yep. Other things you can think of? Divert our walk? Family drama? I had a couple of things down, of course. Our own desires, our own interests, disobedience, sinfulness, failing to grasp hold of the glorious hope yet to come. Jesus encouraged his disciples, and the Lord would encourage us to take up our cross and to follow him daily. And it's good to regularly take stock and recommit ourselves again for living for the Lord. I've encouraged you to look at that passage in Ephesians. Have a look through. Go, hang a second. Yeah, I'm struggling with that. Please help me. It's not bad to look at those things and to make sure that we still are on track. In a minute, I'm going to provide us all with the opportunity to recommit ourselves again. And in doing, to read through a prayer of commitment, but also to have an opportunity to be silent, seeking forgiveness, then asking our Lord God strengthen us for the continuing journey ahead. But first, I want us as a church to pray for and commission those people at LBC who will be especially serving the Lord during 2025. And I found this verse, I think it's a great one, in Psalm 100, end of 2, beginning of 3. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. I want in a moment, I'm just going to read. I want people to stand in a moment. And especially for those, and we want to commission you for this year. And people who will be doing, in a sense, setting aside doing some specific things. I'd ask you to stand up once I mention now, the pastors, the leadership team, the elders, playgroup leaders, helpers, life group leaders, mustard tree helpers, staff, food bank helpers, worship leaders, musos, sound, visual, men's groups, women's groups, bling, welcomers at the door, morning tea helpers, seniors hope, current, I believe there's some new ones coming as well, pastoral search team. If I haven't mentioned you, and you, in a sense you're doing a role, because there's so many of you who are doing it, we want to commission you for this year. So if you know that you are, I want you to stand now. If you're one of those people that I mentioned, if you're a pastor, leaders, if you're on the worship team, Raj, you can stand up there as well. Keith, you can stand up there as well. Please stand. Those people, ladies, please stand. If you're involved, for those who are doing just a bottle drive stuff and picking up that's a huge job. I wouldn't want me doing it. God hasn't called me to do that one. I know that. That's great. Please stand if you're doing that sort of thing. That is, you're serving the Lord. And we want to say, we want God to bless you. And we want to use this passage here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. That's a great lot of people standing, isn't it? That is great. Bling as well. And make and mingle. Who are still, not certain you're making too much, but you're mingling lots. It's great. It's really great to have. I love the mingling part. Can I pray for all you? And in a sense, commission you for this year. Father, thank you. We serve you, Lord. Please help these people to serve with gladness, to come before you with singing, to know that you are the Lord your God. Thank you for how you've gifted these people. Thank you, Lord, for how you have called them to serve you in a variety of ways, whether it be on a variety of things. We thank you for all those things. Father, thank you for those people who sometimes we don't even see what they are doing. But Father, thank you for those roles and those things that they're involved with. Father, we pray that you'll bless them this year as they move forward. Please help them, guide them, steer them. May we as a church continue to be encouraging them and supporting them. And Father, we ask all this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Keep doing a great job. It's going well. But also, a prayer that I've just put down, and sometimes it's good for just to be able to step back and go, hang on a second, yeah, I need to think again. I need to be saying to God, please help me. I'm not quite certain what's happening, but I'm ready. I'm ready for you. So if you may have it in there, in your little handout, but I'll certainly have it up on the screen. And you'll find after a certain part, there will be a time for silence, and perhaps confession, which you need to do as part of that. So let me flick this on here. Pray with me. And I'd encourage. This is a prayer for us all. A prayer for us all. Let's just pray together. We thank you, Father God, who's provided the way for us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints and to be called your children. Thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness and conveying us into the kingdom of your Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of your Holy Spirit to guide and lead us and providing us with the sure hope of eternal life. Please forgive us, Lord, when we have failed you, not taken heed of your promptings, and have put our interests ahead of yours. We personally ask for forgiveness for the things said, done, and thought, for the people, especially brothers and sisters in the Lord, we may have hurt. And let's just spend a quiet moment. Maybe there's something you need to be asking God to forgive you for there. And the empire of the prayer, join me again. We recommit ourselves again today to the task of living daily for you, Lord. Please fill us with a knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you and being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in your knowledge. Strengthen us with might according to your glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We ask and pray this in the name of your Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I encourage you, if you didn't pick up one of the little handouts, maybe you want to go back and just do that at home again. Maybe it's, I know it's put on the spot here. Have a read through it again and practice time again, even at home, just to go, hang on, I read that, but now I need to really do it again. So can I encourage you, if you haven't, please grab one of those ones on the way out there as well.